all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense, and welcome to February. It is Wednesday, February 1st. It is another cold day on Lake Wissota, but 20 degrees warmer than it was 48 hours ago? So we will take that. And what do I always say? One day closer to spring. So we got that going for us. And apparently between Friday and Saturday, we're going to see the high temperatures, you know, shoot up like 30 degrees in a day. So we definitely have a bit of a warm-up expected for this time of year. Coming up this morning, LGBTQ rights and the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. In the race for an opening on the state Supreme Court, two of the candidates are favored by many progressives, while the two conservative candidates have questionable records on whether they believe LGBTQ individuals are deserving of the rights that should be equal to all Americans. A Green Bay attorney will provide some perspective. As a trans woman and a former candidate for judge, Rachel Mays has been put through smear campaigns ranging from whispers to the bellowing of right-wing radio, and we will visit with her later this hour. Also, nice to know that someone is paying attention to the rural Wisconsin electric grid. The USDA is investing $20 million to improve and expand the grid in rural Wisconsin. The work will be done by two different electric cooperatives in the state. It'll make the infrastructure more reliable, affordable, more useful for homeowners and farmers and businesses. And we will talk to former State Senator Julie Lassa, who is now the Wisconsin State Director for Rural Development at the USDA. And Todd Alba joins me at the end of the show, as he does every Wednesday. And this week, we're probably going to get into it a bit, as I take issue a little bit with the way that he's handling the controversy at UW-Richland Center. It is a passionate topic, but passions have a way of undermining your own efforts if you don't keep them in check. Trust me, I know very well. If you want to reach us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or the phone numbers 844-967-2789. Or if you're up here in the 715, you can call 715-388-7155. Aaron Zommers will take your call and get you in line to speak your mind. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well. It's hard to get out of bed these last few days just because it's so warm under all my blankets. But aside from that, doing pretty well.
But you and I are both saying we each have bedrooms with big windows there. And I have a sliding patio door in the master bedroom there. And, you know, most of the time it's okay. But last night was one of those where in the middle of the night I had to go put on a sweatshirt because, you know, it just gets that cold this time of year. And that's the one time when those windows can be a bit of a, you know, a detriment.
Yeah, definitely. I did try something new last night. I took another blanket and like folded it in maybe thirds and laid it across my feet at the end of the bed so that they wouldn't stick past the other blankets and get cold. And it worked.
Oh, well, there you go. Hey, see, whatever works. I'd thought about it. I thought, well, you know, should I go get another blanket? I don't even know where I would go. You know, they're all tucked away in closets, probably in space bags or whatnot. And, you know, the alternative is to get a dog to curl up at your feet. And that's not happening either. I love dogs, but I think my dog owning days might be behind me now. But we get through the nights as best we can. I saw proof in my email and my social media feed that if there are credentials for nerddom, I pass them with flying colors. Do you get emails and social media posts with the subject line, State Budget Address Watch Party? Woohoo! Because that's what we're doing.
I definitely don't.
No, you don't, and most of the normal population does not, but Governor Tony Evers will be delivering his state budget address to the legislature on Wednesday, February 15th, and yeah, there are folks who watch these things, who watch them carefully, who take copious notes, and that's going to happen on the 15th, and yeah, some places are already setting up watch parties for them. We will obviously be talking about the state budget, you know, throughout the weeks and months ahead. In some cases, it's because it's pure politics, but also because it has a very real impact on people's lives, their local schools, their local taxes, their local roads, their local infrastructure, as we're going to talk about later with Julie Lassa in our next hour. These are all things that the legislative and the executive branch through Governor Evers will be working on, but it is worth reminding you that over in the judicial branch is where all the current election excitement is taking place, and that's because we are now less than 3 weeks away from the February 21st primary, not just for local school boards and town boards and things like that, but also for a seat on the state Supreme Court. There are four candidates. The top two will advance to the general election on April 4th. Will it be one conservative and one progressive? Will it be two progressives, two conservatives? Don't know. It all depends on who shows up on February 21st. So if by chance you're of the progressive persuasion and you don't want to find out that on April 4th, there isn't a progressive to choose from because the top two conservatives advanced, well, to keep that from happening, you'll need to show up on February 21st and cast your vote there, or vice versa. You can also request your absentee ballot today at myvote.wi.gov. Bucks beat Charlotte. We'll have a summary of that game and preview a couple of college basketball games, and then some of the Wisconsin headlines coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio for a Wednesday. We'll have an update on the debt ceiling debate and more coming up after some sports at quarter past six on a Wednesday morning. Chris Middleton scored 18 points and sparked a third quarter run that put the Milwaukee Bucks ahead for good as they beat the Charlotte Hornets 124-115 last night. That's the fifth straight win for the Bucks. Middleton is making the most of his limited minutes as he works his way back from injuries that kept him from playing for much of the season. Giannis had 34 points and 18 rebounds. This is the second of four home games this week, every other day. And the LA Clippers will come to the Fiserv Forum on Thursday and then Miami on Saturday. Marquette, the men's basketball team, is now ranked 14th in the nation, currently in a three-way tie atop the Big East. They will host Villanova tonight. The Badger men's basketball team will be at Ohio State tomorrow. The Badgers have lost three straight and six of their last seven. Women's college basketball, there are games tonight. The Badger women host number two ranked Ohio State, and the Marquette women are hosting Villanova in Milwaukee. There's a new story here that speculates on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not reading it. We'll talk about that when there's actual news to report and when the time is appropriate. Tomorrow will be Thursday, so we'll have our hometown health segment at 7:30 featuring Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Dr. Ben Weston. The topic is COVID-19. Where are we now? Especially given two new things in the news. One, some new FDA vaccine recommendations, and the other would be President Biden's move to lift the national emergencies related to the COVID-19 pandemic, to do so in a regular, smooth, organized way between now and May. Republicans in Congress are trying to throw a wrench into that and bring about chaos and lift everything right away. And when you listen to Dr. Weston, you may have the same epiphany that I had, that we've become so used to the politics of this issue that when you hear about the national emergencies being lifted, I'm sure that many people think about the lifting of safeguards or restrictions or all the things that Republicans have been railing against, even though they really haven't existed for a couple of years now. But actually, the lifting of the emergency declarations is also going to reduce or eliminate some of the access that some people have to healthcare, to lower cost treatments, vaccines, things like that. So, I mean, it's worth noting you can kill the COVID emergency, but COVID can still kill you or other people if you don't take care of yourself with vaccines and safeguards. And so we will talk about that in the Hometown Health segment tomorrow. Over at UpNorthNewsWI.com right now, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is asking people to send some Valentine's love to Wisconsin veterans who are living in the skilled care homes at Union Grove, King, and here in Chippewa Falls. And so if you'd like to send some Valentine's to some of the veterans who live in those homes, you can, over the next 10 days, send them to the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, attention, Veteran Valentine's, P.O. Box 7843, Madison 53707. And I know none of you have a pencil in your hand right now, but again, if you go to upnorthnewswi.com or look for Up North News on Facebook, you'll be able to find the story about Veterans Valentine's. And again, get that address. But since some of you might have grabbed one by now, I'll tell you again, send it to the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, attention, Veterans Valentine's, P.O. Box 7843, Madison 53707. In some of the political headlines at midweek here, we're going to primarily focus on things that Republicans are saying and doing at both the federal and state level. Before we do that, let me set it up with an example of something that Democrats are doing. In this case, at the state level, and in this case, the state is Minnesota. I mentioned this last week, that approaching the 50th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, which protected a women's reproductive health care rights for about 49 years, the Minnesota legislature, which is now controlled by Democrats, went ahead and codified abortion rights into state law. And yesterday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed the bill and had this to say.
It's a privilege to be standing here amongst these incredible servant leaders who carried out the will of the people of Minnesota. And the message that we're sending to Minnesota today is very clear. Your rights are protected in this state. You have the right to make your own decisions about your health, your family, and your life. In a few moments, we'll make sure that our state law reflects exactly that.
That's Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signing that bill codifying abortion rights in that state. Meanwhile, Republicans in Wisconsin and elsewhere continue going backwards. Remember, we mentioned yesterday that the Republican National Committee is advising its 2024 candidates to go harder on restricting women's health care rights. And so it really shouldn't surprise you that there's a news story today. Axios has the story that says Republicans break with another historical ally, doctors, as the share of contributions from the American Medical Association to Republican congressional candidates continues to shrink to the point where several elected doctors are openly critical of the organization for what they refer to as its woke policies. A lot of Republicans are voicing frustration with the AMA, citing the organization's positions on issues like abortion and gender-affirming care. Well, to no surprise, and a growing number of doctors has a problem with Republican positions on women's reproductive health rights, gender-affirming care, and that whole thing about, you know, believing science when it comes to COVID-19, and now to vaccines in general. So yeah, it's not a big surprise that maybe there was a physicians group that supported Republicans more heavily for decades, probably based around economic issues, but is now looking at what has happened to the Republican Party from the standpoint of basic science and facts, not to mention compassion and healthcare. And the AMA and its members are moving away from Republicans in much the same way that some other groups are doing the same with the Republican Party as it becomes more extreme over time. The Republicans at the federal level continue to push for massive spending cuts in order to release the hostage, that is the nation's debt ceiling and the national economy. And yet, still, even on this day, as Kevin McCarthy, the Republican House Speaker, goes to meet with President Biden, Republicans still will not say what spending cuts they want to make. They just keep saying, we want spending cuts, we want cuts, but they don't have a plan. This sounds so crazy reminiscent of the healthcare debate a few years ago. Remember repeal and replace? That's all we heard. Repeal the Affordable Care Act, and we're going to replace it, Trump said, with a big, beautiful plan. They never had a real plan. They took a couple of, you know, half efforts at a plan in a very ham-handed way. They tried to get it through Congress. Remember John McCain with that famous thumbs down, which really said it all. It said, from what Republicans used to stand for, you don't have a plan. You didn't do your homework. What's the plan? The same can be said here about the budget. Now, there's a group called the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, and it estimated this month, according to an article in the New York Times, that in order to balance the budget over the next decade, it would require $14.5 trillion in deficit reduction. One way to do that would be to require all spending to be cut by 25%. So imagine a 25% cut to the military, a 25% cut to Social Security, a 25% cut to, you know, nutrition programs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, of course, that's not going to happen because people have said, well, we have to protect Social Security and Medicare and defense and veterans. So the group says, if you were to leave those big four areas alone, defense, veterans, Social Security, and Medicare, every other so-called discretionary item wouldn't need to be slashed 25%. It would need to be slashed 85% in order to eliminate the national debt over the next decade. Now, in the article, they quote somebody named Russell Vogt, who acknowledged that it was unfortunate that more was not done to curtail spending during the Trump era, when Republicans were supportive of lifting the debt ceiling three times. I do wish we could have had other things attached to the debt ceiling increase, Vogt said. Oh, who is Russell Vogt, you ask? He was the director of the Office of Management and Budget under Donald Trump. And he's now saying, yeah, we should have done more back then. No, you didn't. You didn't want to. You lifted the debt ceiling three times, no question asked. You blew up the deficit and the debt with massive tax cuts for the very wealthy. That's one of the largest drivers of the deficit nowadays and for the next several years to come. But rather than repeal those, we keep hearing demands for spending cuts. And so this isn't going away anytime soon as Republicans continue to embrace extremism in so many different areas. So many different areas. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is warning teachers that every book on their shelves could be considered banned until otherwise notified, that they have to be vetted basically by censors and put the librarians at risk of being prosecuted as felons. In other words, in the view of Governor DeSantis, all books are inherently dangerous, guilty until proven innocent. In Arizona, Republican legislators are considering a financial penalty for cities implementing a minimum wage higher than the legislature allows. In Tennessee, they're considering a ban on drag shows, but as one female Democratic legislator pointed out to them, if you're going to ban drag shows, why don't you ban wrestling? And she went on to describe, you know, all the men in tights and the costumes that they wear and the violent acts that they engage in while in the wrestling ring. We've already talked about the Missouri legislature. One of their first orders of business was to tell women in the legislature how to dress. No more bare shoulders. We've heard talk about a national sales tax in place of spending cuts. Who's ready to pay a 30% tax on everything because Republicans won't repeal the tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires? And not only did the Republican National Committee at its meeting last weekend call for 2024 Republicans to go harder on restricting women's health care rights. They also said they're going to put even more of a focus on election fraud, the untrue claims of election fraud, and they're going to continue to make election integrity an issue. Again, proving that in all of Western democracy around the world, there is only one political class that is dedicated to suppressing the right to vote rather than encouraging it. We will talk about LGBTQ issues in the state Supreme Court race coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
There are going to be some clear choices to make in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election. It will take place on April 4th for an open seat. But before we find out who the candidates are on April 4th, there has to be a primary on February 21st. And again, there appears to be a very bright, clear line between two of the Supreme Court candidates and two of the other Supreme Court candidates. It's an issue that is being followed very carefully by our next guest, and introducing her and also following this race very closely is our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly out in the Green Bay area. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning, Mary Sunshine. How are you, Pat?
Oh boy, that's the first time I've been accused of that in a long time. Did you get those boys up yet?
No.
Wait, I thought, was it at 6:30 you shouted them to get up or
usually I explained to them last night that they need to show some personal responsibility. So we'll see how that goes at 7 o'clock.
Oh, well, if you don't care how they're dressed. Yes, that's absolutely. You go for that.
I gave up on that a long, long time ago. Pick your battles.
So Northeast Wisconsin, the Green Bay area in particular, has had its share of, political back and forth, to put it mildly, and, you know, some campaigns and, frankly, my words, nobody else's, some real garbage pouring out of the radio speakers in the Green Bay area. And the result, we are so thrilled to be on the radio now in Green Bay and to help highlight guests in the area who can shed some light on races like this state Supreme Court race. And that's where you had this fabulous idea for a guest.
Yeah. So I am so excited to introduce my friend, Rachel Mays, who is an attorney in the area in public service and also deeply connected to Green Bay from a historical perspective, grew up here, has run for public office here, and really raising her family here, really cares about this community. And she has a really unique perspective on the Supreme Court race because she's a member of the LGBTQ community. So one of the things that, as I was reading through Jennifer Doro's website and Dan Kelly's website, and just looking at all of the different candidates, there were some real red flags that were raised for me. And so I reached out to Rachel to get her perspective as somebody who might have a little bit of just some concerns that maybe I don't fully understand. So having said all of that, welcome, Rachel.
Good morning back to you, Mary Sunshine.
So like we said, like Pat said, the upcoming Supreme Court race is really important for the future of our state. From your perspective, as an attorney in public service, what does this race mean to you?
Well, the balance of power for the Supreme Court hangs in the balance here. Judges are supposed to be impartial, non-biased, non-partisan, but we've seen recent decisions coming down to a lot of 4-3 decisions, leaning in a more conservative interpretation of the laws. And now with an open seat, this could tip the balance of the Supreme Court. And especially with issues like abortion and redistricting maps coming up in the near future, or likely to come up in the near future, this election could have an impact fundamentally on how we vote and who's in the districts that we're voting for, and just like bedrock principles that support democracy. the Supreme Court regulates my profession, so I'm keenly interested. They have the final say in interpreting all the rules that I work with on a day-to-day basis, as well as the profession. So the impact to our communities, to our voting rights, to our voting districts, to our personal rights, all could be deeply impacted by the outcome of the spring election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, your profession, as you mentioned, is so closely intertwined with the decisions that they make, but also your personal life. When you look at the profiles of these four candidates, there are two who clearly support the LGBT community, and there are two who clearly don't. Can you speak a little bit more to your concerns about that?
Yeah, we haven't seen any decrease. In fact, there's been an increase in proposed bills in state houses across the country that target the LGBTQ community. I think in the first 2 months of the most recent legislative session, there were 150 different LGBTQ bills that were targeting a minority population in our country. But the concerning thing there is that what started as, you know, bathroom bills and bills targeting transgender athletes have really expanded in scope. Now things like healthcare are being targeted, forcing adults up to the age of 26 in some cases to transition. Attacks on bodily autonomy. It's not just abortion. It's an LGBTQ issue as well. Talking about with the fall of Roe, talking about attacks on gay marriage and other privacy related decisions that have been made in the past. So it's very concerning that, you know, the court that is supposed to uphold personal rights and personal liberties could see another justice who either strongly opposes even the existence, the privacy protections for gay people to have relationships in the privacy of their own homes or to be able to get married. And some of the visceral language that's being used by two of the candidates is really concerning from an LGBTQ perspective.
And it is not vague by any stretch, the language that is coming, the language that first inserted itself into doctors' offices and threatens to insert itself into marriage rights, is also saying we're okay with putting our judicial feelings in your bedroom. And it is specific. Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro specifically called the 2003 Lawrence v. Texas decision, quote, a prime example of judicial activism at its worst. And the Texas law had criminalized consensual sexual conduct between same-sex individuals. So, Rachel, what does Lawrence v. Texas mean to you as it was decided? And what does it mean that Judge Doro and former Justice Dan Kelly think that Lawrence v. Texas should be overturned the same way Roe v. Wade was?
Well, Lawrence v. Texas allows gay couples to exist. What can two consenting adults do in their home? It's such a fundamental principle that you can love who you love, and it's okay that it's not bound to this, you know, heteronormative ideal or, you know, tradition that if a same-sex couple is deeply connected, they can be protected by the law. They're not going to be prosecuted or persecuted for loving their partner. And I mean, when it comes to privacy law, it's such a fundamental case that allows gay couples to even exist.
Yeah. And to hear Jennifer Doro call that one of the worst Wisconsin or U.S. Supreme, she called it the worst Wisconsin or U.S. Supreme Court decision. I mean, that clearly tells you where she stands on this. And then when you look at Dan Kelly, He has argued that the Obergefell case, which is the ruling that bans same-sex, or ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. Kelly said that was illegitimate, going on to say that same-sex marriage will, this is a quote, eventually rob the institution of marriage of any discernible meaning. And he's endorsed by Wisconsin Family Action, which is an organization that has opposed numerous initiatives in support of the LGBTQ community, including crazy things like recognizing June as Pride Month. I mean, the writing is on the wall here. What's your take on Kelly, Rachel?
Well, it's really concerning that this kind of implicit bias would exist on our highest court. The studies show that the vitriol that he's spewing is just not accurate, that gay couples are capable of raising children, having families. And when you look at things like divorce rate, the divorce rate is no higher in same-sex couples than it is in heterosexual couples. Where there's love, there's family. And to say that same-sex couples and their marriages and their families are illegitimate, or that they're going to deprive the sanctity of marriage from its power, it's just not true. Where there's love, there's family, and allowing same-sex couples to be married. Our conservative-leaning U.S. Supreme Court has upheld that protection and upheld that right. So a couple of years ago, we saw Brian Hagedorn compare same-sex marriage as compared to bestiality. Now we would have another Supreme Court justice who's saying that it's illegitimate. It's really concerning when you start having too many people on the court that have that bias.
And here's the thing, Rachel, is that Justice Hagedorn is considered a swing justice because he hasn't always voted with the other conservatives in the court, even though he has basically hateful values such as that. And it was so intriguing to hear you talk about love compared to the hate that you have had to endure, the transphobia, the blatant partisanship when you have run for elected office in Brown County, that there is the voices of hate and bigotry have been more emboldened than ever. And yet you're continuing to speak out about these things clearly because you understand how high the stakes are in February and again in April.
Yeah, and it's a stark contrast to other candidates who are running. Judge Everett Mitchell performed a same-sex marriage in his Baptist congregation down in the Madison area. He was the only Black congregation in the Madison area that supports and embraces same-sex marriage. So when you look at someone who's using religion to liberate people and to bring people together and create a big tent type of ideology where everyone's welcome, the contrast to other candidates who are on the ballot is just so stark, and the impact on personal rights just can't be understated.
Yeah. And Janet said something very similar on her homepage that, you know, who you love is up to you, something like that. So it's very clear that Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell are very much on board with the LGBTQ plus community, and that Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro are not.
This is about lifting people up in their relationships, just like we talk about lifting people up in their voting rights, encouraging people to vote. These are all positive things for people. Rachel Mays, we are so thankful that you are being an advocate, helping people understand the importance of the race and having people vote February 21st, as well as on April 4th. We hope you'll come back again and tell us more about issues that are going on. And we can't wait to see where your own ambitions in life take you to.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the conversation this morning.
Oh, we did as well. Kristen, thank you. This was so wonderful to bring Rachel to us. Do you want to stick around and do some music history with me?
Yes, I do, Pat.
I kind of felt that you might want to do that. So why don't we reset things here? We'll reset the board. We'll put some records on the turntable, and we'll cover that next on Up North News Radio. This is Neil Young's Heart of Gold from his album Harvest, which was released on this day, February 1st in 1972. And I would normally make some kind of Heart of Gold reference to, you know, Melissa Kay, who's here on Wednesdays, or Kristen, who's here on Mondays and Thursdays. But Kristen's here on a Wednesday. They're both here. And so good morning to both of you people who have such a heart of gold.
Hi.
Anybody buying this? Anybody buying this at all?
Way to lay it on thick, Pat.
Yep. Melissa joins us every Wednesday from Aaron, help me, locally grown radio.
I got one word in there. I said grown.
Okay. Grown is right. Grown is right. How are things in Wisconsin Rapids?
Oh, things are good. We're excited this week. We get to talk with Sheriff Sean Becker today during our morning magazine segment. And we're talking with Representative Scott Krug on Friday.
Okay. And now you and Kristen haven't had the opportunity to meet yet. So I would recommend her highly if you are looking for a somebody of the medical persuasion to ever talk. I mean, feel free to. We're not the only media appearance she makes. She's kind of a big deal. So
I just love talking about like doctor stuff, especially gynecology. If you let me go off on that tangent, we'll be best friends.
Oh, and she does. And she does. let's see. Let's do for music history. Either one of you remember Tommy James and the Shondells?
Uh-huh.
I do not.
You do. I keep forgetting. Melissa is just like, you know, she's just this kid.
Yeah,
I got
but
stuff.
I grew up under a rock, Pat, so I have that in
okay.
my defense.
Well, there is that, but this day in 1969, Crimson and Clover began a two-week run at the top of the top of the charts from Tommy James and the Shondells. So while that plays, let me give a few other historical notes here. This day in 1945, RCA introduces the 45, a smaller record that plays at 45 RPM versus the 33 and a third that the albums came at, so that you could get higher audio quality. This revolutionized the record industry. Now, Melissa, for folks of your generation, records are these things that we used to listen to.
I have a record player right over there, Pat.
Okay. All right. Also this day, 1901, the anniversary of the birth of Clark Gable. We all remember Rhett Butler and Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on Gone with the Wind, ladies?
Oh.
Classic or overrated?
Oh, classic.
Okay.
It's a classic, but yeah, it's
a classic.
There's some issues.
Yeah. Well, again, some things don't age well. And actually, there's another movie that often airs over Christmas called Holiday Inn, Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. And there is a very well-written disclaimer on the front of that movie now that says there are things here that we would never do today. Please keep in mind the historical acceptance of, you know, certain race-based things as you watch this movie. And I thought, okay, that's what you want to let people know, is not to normalize these things. Mm-hmm. Harry Styles is 29 today. Ah. I should not know who Harry Styles is, but believe it or not, I do. I actually like some One Direction songs.
Wow.
I can't name any of them right now, but I like them when I hear them.
You don't know you're beautiful.
Oh, I love that one. Yes, uh-huh. That's a great one. Okay, yeah. Now, Melissa, you sing a One Direction song.
Can't Can't do it.
No, I know.
I don't know any.
on a melancholy note, this should be Lisa Marie Presley's 55th birthday, but sadly she passed away very recently. But she was born on this day in Memphis, Tennessee, in 1968. We're going to talk about two punk rock bands, but we need some new background music. So let's start with on this day in 1975, Neil Sedaka hit number one with this one.
What?
Aaron?
I thought you said punk rock.
Punk rock, but we need to set the scene. So Neil Sedaka's Laughter in the Rain is going to be in the background because I don't know anything about these punk rock songs we're about to talk about. This is the 69th birthday of Chuck Dukowski, bassist of Black Flag. And apparently this is Rise Above from the band. Not this, the next thing here it's going to play.
Yeah, that's pretty seminal. That's punk rock there.
Yeah, here's what I know of Black Flag. I know that when somebody did a remake of The Boys of Summer, instead of a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac, it was a Black Flag sticker on a Cadillac. And now I can say I've heard a Black Flag song for the first time. So I got that going for me. Aaron, what can you tell me about this next birthday from the punk band X?
Well, this is the birthday of, I promise you all these names are real, the birthday of Exene Cervenka, born Christine Lee Cervenka, a much more normal name. She's 67 today. She's the singer of another California punk band, X, as said. The other members of the band are the guitarist Billy Zoom and the bassist / another singer, John Doe.
And this is John Doe, Nausea. Billy Zoom, and Exene Cervenka. And he had to promise me he wasn't punking me, that he was just making stuff up for this. Melissa, Late Night with David Letterman, the original Late Night.
Yes.
Was that something that was that past your bedtime at that point, or were you a viewer?
We didn't watch much TV when I was growing up.
Well, then you missed the premiere of Late Night with David Letterman on this night in 1982. The very first guest was Bill Murray, but Bill Murray didn't come out to talk about movies. He, as the first guest, came out and did Olivia Newton-John's Physical while doing aerobics.
Let's get physical, physical. I wanna get physical.
It really kind of set the stage for what Late Night with David Letterman was going to be. On this day in 1994, Green Day released their third album, Dookie, which is the first on a major record label. It is this album, apparently, that made Aaron want to learn how to play the bass as we listen to Basket Case. Tell us more, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a lot of Green Day on the radio and from my older sister when I was really little, and this album made me want to play bass, and American Idiot made me want to play the drums, and I play both.
That's awesome. Did you catch them at the Hella Mega Tour when they were here in Milwaukee a couple of years ago?
No, I didn't. Some of my friends went.
They were so good.
I wasn't able to, though.
Wait, you were at a Green Day? What was this concert you were at?
It was Weezer and Green Day and Fall Out Boy. It was so good.
Did I mention that on Saturday nights I watched the Molly B polka show on RFD TV? So we come at this from all different perspectives, well, Melissa.
Yes.
My boys talked me into it. They said, "Hey, Mom, wouldn't it be fun to go to this show?" Which really meant, "Hey, Mom, why don't you buy tickets for the show and we'll let you go with us?" But, hey, it works for everybody.
But stay in the back, you know, of course. Melissa, you're off to go do a radio show here for locally grown radio. So yes. thanks for coming to play with us. We really appreciate it.
It was really nice to meet you, Kristen.
Great to meet you, too.
Oh, I've created now, the big crossover episode. It's like when the gang from Scooby-Doo, you know, lands on Gilligan's Island or something like that. So I would look for more of this, more in our next hour.
Anytime.
This is Up North News Radio.